John chapter 8, I'll begin at verse 54. If I glorify myself, Jesus answered, my glory is nothing. My Father, about whom you say he is our God, he is the one who glorifies me. You do not know him, but I know him. If I were to say I don't know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Jews replied, you aren't 50 years old yet, and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden and went out of the temple. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, the crucified. Dear brothers and sisters, who do you claim to be? From our text, and also the theme of the sermon, this question is one of the most important questions, not only here in John chapter 8, but throughout the Gospel of John. In fact, it's one of the most important questions that you find throughout the Gospels. As Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And here again the question, who do you claim to be? And you may remember that your pastor has preached a number of times on the claims of Christ. And I do so for a number of reasons, some of which I will emphasize at the end of the sermon. But for now, I simply want you to know that one of the reasons to do so is because you find this theme, this question, throughout the Gospels. Who do people claim that he is? The claims about Christ come from several different sources or witnesses. Jesus, of course, himself, the primary source for his claims about himself. And then his followers, his disciples and his apostles in the Gospels, they are also a source who make claims about who he is. A third source is what we could call the curious, or those who are saying, I'm not sure. They're saying, yeah, I hear Jesus, but I'm not quite sure who he is at this point. A fourth source making claims about who Jesus is are those who reject him. And finally, claims also come from the writers of the Gospels themselves. You know, a good example is the Gospel of John. John starts out his Gospel clearly saying, this is who I claim Jesus to be. And then you go to the end of the Gospel, and you find the same thing there. But in between, you find John allowing others to make their claims about who they believe Jesus is. Now, the claims about Christ are of two kinds, we could say. One is what we could call a not-so-strange kind. They are not necessarily outrageous. They are things said by him or about him that are also said of other people from time to time as well. They are not unheard of. They may be a little bit over the top, and we might say, well, that person is bragging, or that person is exaggerating, or something like that. But they are not necessarily outrageous. So, for example, John the Baptist. He says he was not worthy to untie Jesus' shoelaces. That comment in and of itself is not outrageous. He simply could have meant that Jesus has this great learning, and he's a man of integrity, and therefore he's worthy of great honor. And then there are many, both his disciples and those who are curious, who either said that he was or might be the Messiah, And again, by itself, this is not outrageous for people to say that he is or might be the Messiah, because the Jews knew that someday a man would come who would be the Messiah. And so they would not be all that shocked if somebody would show up claiming to be the Messiah. And they either said, yes, he is, or not sure. I mean, even those who rejected Jesus knew that Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. They simply said, nope, this is not him. It'll be somebody else, but this is not him. Other not-so-strange claims about Jesus include, we think he's a prophet, he's a good man, no one has ever preached like this. You know, even the claim of those who rejected him, we know he has a demon. That in itself isn't so outrageous. It's within the realm of possibility, because we know that demon-possessed people do strange things and say strange things. The same thing with those who claim that he was crazy or insane. Humanly speaking, this was possible. It was possible for them as they observed and listened to Jesus. Our conclusion, based on what we hear and what we see, is, yeah, this man is crazy. And even Jesus' implication in our text that he never sinned, who among you can convict me of sin, is not all that extraordinary for a human being to say. I've known several people who have told me that they thought they never sinned. They were wrong, of course, but they just didn't know it. So we have these claims about Jesus, some positive, some negative, that fall within the realm of not so strange. But then we have those claims about Jesus made by Jesus, made by the writers of the Gospels, made by the disciples, and made by those who rejected him, that go far beyond the ordinary. I often refer to them as outrageous claims. They would put Jesus into the category of the greatest blasphemer of all times, or the category of a lunatic, crazy, insane, or the category of demon-possessed, or, almost unimaginably, into that category of being who these claims say he is. So, going back to John the Baptist, who was several months older than Jesus, saying, he existed before me. Jesus said many times that God was his own personal father, that he, Jesus, was the one and only son sent by the Father to planet Earth. Jesus said that anybody and everybody who believed in him would not perish, but live forever. He said that his voice on the last day would raise up every single person from the dead. He said that all people are to honor him as they honor the Father. He said that if people would continue in his word, they would know the truth and would be set free. And again, according to our text, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Again, according to our text, he was not only greater than Abraham, but he had seen Abraham. And most importantly in our text, he said that before Abraham was, I am. I am. Here Jesus was saying that his existence could not be measured by time. His existence goes beyond time. He is eternal. And that can only be said of one. He was taking on a name that God used of himself when he met with Moses back in Exodus 3. And so when people figured this out, when Jews figured this out and believed in him, it's no surprise then that some of them worshiped him. Even those who rejected him clearly understood what Jesus was saying about himself. They picked up stones to stone him to death because he was claiming to be the eternal God. And according to these Jews, no way. Blasphemy. They understood he was making himself equal to God. As the Jews would say in John 10, we aren't stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Now, there is no evidence from the life of Christ, from his disciples, or even from his enemies, that Jesus considered himself to be a mere man, not even a mere great man. No, he was claiming something that would either make him the greatest liar, a raving lunatic, demon-possessed, or God in human flesh. And this is what we believe. And we believe it because it is true. So what does this mean? First of all, this puts Christianity in a class all by itself. You really can't find any other religion that claims to be true, any other religion where its human founder, its human leader, has ever claimed to be, let alone proven to be, the eternal God, the creator of the entire universe, who sustains the entire universe and every living thing in it, who claimed to be the Lord of Lords, who guides and directs every step of human history, and against whom every single sin ever committed was directed toward him. And neither will you find a religion anywhere where a man claiming to be God willingly has heaped upon him the sins of the world. Who's on that cross? Well, it's a man, but it is also the Almighty Eternal God, now humbled beyond comprehension. And what is that God-man doing on that cross? He is paying the ultimate price, the ultimate punishment that those who rejected him deserved, and that all sinners, you and I, deserved. Christianity is in a class by itself. No other religion comes close. And the greatest thing about this Christianity of ours is that it is absolutely true. And that means that our sins are really forgiven. They are gone. They cannot be any more gone, because it was God on the cross who dealt with them once and for all. And this you and I must believe and hold to if the forgiveness bought is to be ours. But here's another reason these claims about Christ are so important. We should not let people who we speak with get away with assuming that Jesus did not make these claims about himself. All Christianity is like other religions. No, it is not, neighbor. Oh, Jesus Christ was a great man, a great moral teacher. No, friend, you are missing the boat if that's all you believe. When we bring to people the message that Jesus claimed to be God, and we bring to them the message that this claim is true, we are opening the door to true evangelism. For without this claim, and without this claim being true, there is no real comfort. There is no forgiveness. There is no salvation. And so we can say, my friend, my neighbor, my son, my daughter, my mother, my father, my coworker, my boss, my stranger, my enemy, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Again, Jesus, truly I tell you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Never see death. He said this only because of who he truly is and what he truly did. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.